Thanks for joining us. Contrary to popular belief, the pandemic is still very much with us. And in parts of the country where the unvaccinated outnumber the vaccinated, healthcare workers are once again being pushed to their limits. As many places loosen restrictions, some areas are cracking down. As back-to-school season gets underway, it's young people that some doctors are most concerned about.
I am here with my 13-year-old daughter, Kaya. She has COVID and it has been intubated.
Angela Morris never dreamt she'd be in this position. When her 13-year-old daughter, Kaya, first got sick, it didn't seem that serious.
She had a fever of about 101 for about a week. When it got to the point that she didn't want to eat anything is when I took her to her doctor and she tested positive for COVID. And the next day we were here at the hospital being intubated.
That was 2 weeks ago. Now both mother and daughter have COVID. Kaya remains on a ventilator, her mom standing vigil at her hospital bedside.
A lot has been going on. Her kidneys have failed. It's all been very overwhelming.
In their home state of Arkansas, hospital admissions are up 230% in the last month. Some are even full as the new Delta variant tightens its grip on the entire country, especially among the young and the unvaccinated.
Most of the patients are between the ages of 20 and 50. And we have about a fifth of those patients are pregnant women, and largely they are unvaccinated.
In Arkansas, only about 35% of residents are fully vaccinated, compared to the national average, which is nearly 50%. The state's infection rate is the second highest in the country.
I was very apprehensive to getting her the vaccine, and I had a false sense of security when the mask mandate got dropped. But I really want parents to know that getting your children vaccinated is obviously better than the situation we're in right now, because I did not get her vaccinated.
Healthcare workers nationwide are sounding the alarm on this COVID resurgence.
If you don't choose the vaccine, you're choosing death. And you're choosing a surge and another surge.
At the same time, the country appears to be embracing a return to normal, with so many states and cities dropping safety measures like mask mandates and capacity limits.
There are many points in this pandemic where I felt like we were done. And then for one reason or another, it would only be a matter of time before it felt like it was cyclical. And then you started getting the coughs, the sneezes, the fevers, and then it started to progress.
When you look at statistics across the country, what troubles you the most?
The unvaccinated states, or the states with low vaccination rates. And the reason why is because it's predictable at this point.
Every state except South Dakota and Wyoming have reported an increase in new COVID cases over the last week. Outbreaks have hit younger age groups more this time around, including some of the country's biggest Olympic hopefuls. Tennis star Coco Gauff was set to go for gold in Tokyo, but will have to wait until the next games after she tested positive for COVID this weekend. And 18-year-old gymnast Kara Aker, one of the alternates on Team USA, also testing positive. Her father told our Kansas City station that his daughter has no symptoms so far and is vaccinated.
She can't practice or anything like that. Like I said, the biggest disappointment is that, you know, this takes her out of it completely.
The White House is putting some star power into its outreach to young Americans. Bringing Good For You singer Olivia Rodrigo to the White House last week to meet the president and speak with Dr. Fauci.
I got my first dose of the Fauci ouchie.
We still have millions of people in our country who are not vaccinated. Our kids depend on us, the people around them, being protected, being vaccinated in order to shield them from the virus.
Adam Joseph learned that the hard way.
We kind of feel like we failed as parents.
Joseph is a meteorologist at our Philadelphia station, WPVI. He and his husband are vaccinated, but his 5 and 6-year-old kids are too young to get the shot. He invited an unvaccinated relative to his home who later tested positive for COVID-19. His children are now sick. So is their nanny.
We're still scared, you know, of the long-term effects with our kids. Please, if you are not vaccinated, do not go around children who are under 12. They are so vulnerable right now.
Protecting kids is front of mind for so many parents as summer break ends and kids head back to school.
I'm really nervous about going back to in-person instruction. Now the mask mandate has been lifted. It just makes me very apprehensive.
Katie Nash is a teacher near Phoenix, Arizona.
So here is my classroom.
We've lessened some of the safety precautions that we had been taking. We are not cleaning desks in between passing periods. And my big fear right now is this Delta variant, but also the number of people that are still not vaccinated.
Go ahead and get our bags ready.
It's more than just her health on the line. Both Katie's young daughters will be returning to school this week too. One is immunocompromised.
It's our last weekend before school starts.
Despite the recent rise in cases, Arizona, like many other states, will not require kids to wear masks at school. That decision falls on the family.
Kaylee, are you nervous about being the only kid at school who's wearing a mask?
Kind of.
In Tucson, some kids went back to school today. Masks optional. Some educators are embracing the return to pre-pandemic life.
Seeing the kids and seeing their faces, seeing them smile, seeing their reactions. And I know that our students are going to be excited to see our faces and our smiles.
What's your favorite part about going back to school?
Seeing my friends.
Yeah, seeing my friends and meeting my teachers.
Nash understands the drive to get back to normal. She took her girls shopping for school supplies this weekend.
I would love to say to our governor, our state legislators, our federal lawmakers as well, President Biden, we need to have a mask mandate back again. I don't want to force vaccinations on anybody. So the simplest solution is to continue to require to wear masks.
Parents and kids very concerned about what's going to happen in the fall. Will they be safe?
The first thing you can do is get vaccinated. Make sure everyone in the household is vaccinated because children are more likely to be exposed to COVID-19 from adults and teenagers rather than other kids. Bottom line, I think children who are not vaccinated should be wearing masks when they're indoors with other children.
The American Academy of Pediatrics agrees, putting out a recommendation that everyone wear masks in school this fall, pitting the physicians group against the CDC, which says vaccinated kids and staff can go without masks, and leaves the final decision up to local leaders. Over the weekend, the former Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, says he thinks the CDC should reinstate a national mask mandate. Adams, along with Dr. Fauci, early last year initially advised against the general public wearing masks. But that was before we had solid evidence on just how effective they are. He spoke to local affiliate Wish TV.
So there's what you intend and there's what the public hears. The CDC intended to, again, give localities flexibility, but what health officials are telling me is that the public just universally heard, we're done with masks. And so the message is really the problem here, not the intention.
Some already have. Los Angeles just reimposed mandatory mask wearing for all indoor spaces as cases there spiked.
In areas where there are low numbers of vaccinated people or where cases are rising, it's very reasonable for counties to take more mitigation measures, like the mask rules that you see coming out in LA. And I anticipate that will happen in other parts of the country, too.
The disagreement between what government officials should and should not be doing to protect younger Americans coming to a head for one doctor in Tennessee.
This is more than about me. This is about public health. This is about serving people.
Dr. Michelle Fiskus is a pediatrician outside of Nashville. Until recently, she was Tennessee's top vaccine official. She made headlines last week after she was fired.
I'm not embarrassed for being terminated. I feel like I've stood my ground. I've forced them to justify something that's not justifiable.
Fiskus says she believes she was fired after a memo she sent to doctors in May upset some state lawmakers. In Tennessee, children 14 to 17 years old in some cases can receive medical care without parental permission. She says the memo simply explained the rules.
What this was interpreted as was an undermining of the parental right to control what happens to their child rather than a restating of fact and a sharing of information about that particular doctrine.
But public information requests uncovered a memo listing reasons for her firing, including lack of effective leadership, lack of appropriate management, and other complaints from employees. The health department told us that letter is an internal HR document and that the recommendation memo speaks for itself. But Dr. Fiskus responded by releasing her own rebuttal, as well as her annual reviews, which mostly praise her job performance.
How would you describe overall this document with all of these allegations against you with regarding your termination?
Well, there are elements of truth, but largely it is false narrative and accusations that are untrue.
Tennessee officials had already come under fire after instructing departments to pull back on vaccine outreach programs to teenagers.
When you look at the majority of cases and hospitalizations for the first time since this pandemic has started, our age majority is below the age of 50. You know, that's terrifying. We're transferring now to these younger patients who it feels honestly just unlucky and unfair when they get ill. And it feels like they're a victim of the fact of misinformation, to be quite honest.
It's misinformation officials are trying to clamp down on, encouraging people to follow the facts. It's not political, they say. It's a matter of life or death.
The most important message here is that this is not about my firing. This is about politics and political agendas getting in the way of public health and people, because of this pandemic, literally dying because of it. And that is unacceptable. The only way that we're going to get ahead of this pandemic is for everyone who can get a vaccine to get vaccinated.
And up next, as some schools start to head back, we're answering those pressing questions.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Earlier, I spoke to ABC News contributor and Harvard Medical School epidemiologist Dr. John Brownstein about this latest surge. Dr. Brownstein, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Well, today we saw the Dow Jones Index with a stomach-churning drop, its biggest drop this year, largely on fears of the highly contagious Delta variant. Do you share the stock market's concern that we may be entering another daunting phase of this pandemic?
Well, as we know, the pandemic is going to be felt very differently for those that are vaccinated and those that are unvaccinated. The big worry I have is among those that are unvaccinated and the surge in cases and ultimately hospitalizations and deaths that might come from those groups here in the U.S. for those that are not yet getting the vaccine or not eligible, but also for so many countries around the world where vaccine equity is still a problem. You know, we have many countries that are really just not rolled out the vaccine, and that's where we're seeing these major surges in cases that are really devastating.
Here in the U.S., more than 97% of those hospitalized with COVID are unvaccinated. So what does it mean for things like mask mandates moving forward for people vaccinated or otherwise?
You know, at this point in the pandemic, we have to be really nuanced in terms of our recommendations. In certain parts of the country where we've been able to control this virus and we have great vaccine uptake, you know, mask mandates are really maybe a thing of the past. It's in places where we're seeing surges, like what we're seeing in LA County, that unfortunately, in order to get the pandemic under control, we need layers of interventions, and that includes mask mandates.
And, you know, we've seen a high number of these high-profile breakthrough cases where fully vaccinated people still get infected. We're talking about 9 Yankee players, members of the Texas Democratic Caucus, Olympic hopefuls. Is it really that rare to get COVID for vaccinated versus unvaccinated people?
Well, it's going to become a numbers game. As you have more and more people vaccinated, it shows you that we'll essentially have these breakthrough infections just because of the sheer volume of people that are immunized. But we have 160 million people now vaccinated. So it makes sense that we're going to see breakthrough infections. We have to really, you know, not go, get into the urge of reporting on anecdotal reports of breakthrough infections. You know, many of these are asymptomatic or mild, and they're going to happen in groups of people that get a lot of testing. That can be sports teams or politicians. They get tested quite frequently. So the chances of finding a breakthrough infection just increase from a probability perspective.
We know that people who are vaccinated are less likely to have severe symptoms, but are they also likely to be asymptomatic spreaders as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have to be concerned about Delta, broadly speaking. This is the most significant variant that we've encountered. It's rapidly increasing. We know it's more contagious. But we also know that the vaccines work incredibly well against it. I think we should be very confident that these vaccines are protecting for, you know, against what matters, deaths and hospitalizations. But asymptomatic infections are important because if you're vaccinated and are infected, you potentially could spread it to someone that is vulnerable, someone that's not vaccinated. So we have to take that into account. And unfortunately, the CDC is not really reporting that kind of data right now. So we're kind of flying blind in terms of fully understanding breakthrough infections. And we can look at, you know, hospitalizations and deaths, but that doesn't give us the full picture of what's actually happening in the population.
And what about of the three available vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J, how are they working so far against the Delta variant? And do you think that at some point down the road, we're going to need a booster shot?
Right now, the data looks incredibly good. For those that are vaccinated across all three vaccines, you know, they protect against symptomatic disease. We, of course, don't know, you know, downstream in terms of immunity, you know, where we might need a booster in the years to come. But for now, it's really about getting those that are unvaccinated, you know, the shot, because that is what is really driving this pandemic in this country currently.
And for so many people, we're looking at schools in the fall. How concerned should children and parents be? Certainly about preparedness against the Delta variant and the rise in infections.
At this point in the pandemic, it's not just a one-size-fits-all approach to controlling infection. If you're in a high vaccinated state with low infection rates, you know that we can start to remove some of these layers of intervention like masking and social distancing. But if you're in a state or location that has, you know, a surge of cases, unfortunately, we're going to have to add these additional layers in to protect our kids because we know that they can transmit. We know that they can be part of chains of transmission. And we know, unfortunately, a small number of kids will get severe illness and die. And so, of course, we want to get, you know, all our kids immunized when they become eligible. That will be an important weapon into this next school year.
And weigh in on this debate between the Pediatric Association and the CDC, the American Academy of Pediatrics saying perhaps all children should be masked in schools, which goes against a little bit what the CDC has been saying.
We have to have nuance. We have to recognize that different parts of this country are at different stages of this pandemic. Mask mandates make sense, especially if you're unvaccinated and especially if you're in a hotspot. But if you're in a place like Vermont with very limited transmission, you know, kids can start to regain a sense of normalcy in their schooling environment.
Dr. Brownstein, very reassuring. Thank you so much for your perspective, as always.
Thank you so much.
Are known for their nine lives, but a dog in Cincinnati? Gertie is one lucky canine. She was missing for 5 days when a neighbor thought she heard a pooch crying from behind a wall. Turns out the neighbor was right, and Cincinnati's bravest rushed in to save the day, hammering away and creating an opening large enough for the grateful pup to emerge and then be reunited with her owner. That's Nightline. You can watch all our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here, same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.